Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
You are now tuned into anything potable, the most honorable, the most audible. Hold the applause, like Paul Pierce when he was fresh out the hospital, like Antoine when he shimmied after shots.
Welcome to Anything Is Potable, the Boston Celtics podcast here on the Athletic Podcast Network. I am your host, Sam Jam Packer, professional sports fan, and I am coming to you live from the TD Garden after the Celtics win Game 2 of their first round series against the Brooklyn Nets, 114-107. They come back from being down 17 points in the first half. They survive a 9-0 run to start the game from Bruce Brown. They survive a just horrendous shooting night from Jason Tatum, was only 5 of 16 from the field, but they absolutely dominate the Brooklyn Nets in the second half. And most of all, they dominate Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant, who were 1 for 17 in the second half. And basically, that's the story of the ballgame. The Celtics, I don't know what they did to KD. I don't know if they're small aliens who took his powers, but he just did not have anything tonight. And this is the worst I've ever seen Kevin Durant play. He still ended up with 27 points, but 18 of those came at the foul line. The Celtics held KD to 4 of 17. From the field, and this was a kind of a wild basketball game. The Celtics in the first half, they gave up 60% shooting, 50% from the field, and it felt like every single 50-50 ball was going the Nets' ways. Big swings, missed calls, and just felt like everything was clicking for the Nets. And then slowly but surely, in that third quarter, they chipped it away. They got just kept doing it a little better. Was able to cut the lead to, I think, 5 heading into the fourth. And another thing, there's another instance of the Celtics not winning the KD minutes. They had a chance to do so and cut the lead at both the start of the second, start of the fourth quarter. And it didn't really matter for the Celtics in this game. They started in the fourth quarter. The first 3 minutes, KD was not on the court, called a timeout. The Celtics were down 5. They brought back Jason Tatum, Al Horford into the lineup and to go along with Grant, Peyton Pritchard, and Jaylen Brown, and immediately went on a 12-2 run and then just kind of dominated the rest of the game with Peyton Pritchard knocking down shot after shot. Peyton Pritchard with just as many points in the fourth quarter as KD and Kyrie combined. He had huge plays from Jaylen Brown, just huge shots from Jason Tatum, who did not have the best shooting performance, but just giant performance from the Celtics, and it feels like they were relying on absolutely just championship habits. And they just turned to their defense and just held the Nets to 17 points in the fourth quarter, which is just absolutely absurd. After letting up over 30 points in the quarters 1 and 2, 25 in the third, 17 in the fourth, and the Celtics just kept grinding, kept getting this win. I'm here. I'm excited. Jay is, you know, listening to people talk in the Zooms, but I couldn't wait for him. I just wanted a podcast. And so we'll go to the phones early and see what the fans out there. It's a good time right now if you're joining me here on the Live Room app and want to get your reaction to Game 2. Raise that hand. Try to get to as many people as possible. Well, let's start off with Rob S. Rob, how are you doing, buddy?
I'm doing well, Jam. How are you?
Doing fantastic here on the rafters after an amazing win.
Yeah, I mean, not a bad win, but do you think that the Celtics should go to more movement on offense? I know they kind of loaded up on everyone in the fourth quarter and then fast PP just kind of killed people. But what did you think about the fourth quarter offense overall?
I thought they did. That's a good question. And thanks, Rob. I thought they did a pretty good job of moving the ball and driving and kicking. I think the Nets are really kind of packing the paint, really overloading on Tatum. And I thought the Celtics did a good job of drive, kick, drive, kick, drive, kick. And it got just more open shots for them, especially there in that fourth quarter. I would like to see some more movement, but I don't know. The kind of the way the game this was played, it was not really the most fluid game. So many foul calls. I would like to see them do more. Actually, you know what? I take that back, because I think one of the things they did really well in the fourth quarter is the game slowed down and they really focused on matchups of just abusing Nets for their smaller players out there. They were trying to get Tatum on Curry. They're trying to get Tatum on Kyrie Irving. They're trying to get Tatum on Patty Mills. The same for Jalen. Jalen had some huge buckets. We're basically just going through the chest of Kyrie Irving. I think you want some more movement, but I think the Celtics really kind of calmed down, slowed down the turnovers, and I thought their offensive execution was pretty solid down the stretch, especially in that fourth quarter. Let's go to Luis C. Luis, thank you for joining me here on Anything Is Potable. How you doing?
I'm all right, Stan Packett. How you doing?
I'm doing fantastic.
Professional sports fan. Nice to be on.
Nice to have you on. What'd you think of the Celtics game two performance?
I think the fans need to continue playing their role. We need to continue yelling for every possession. What I've seen is the same thing I've seen in game one. Every time the fans are standing up, you see the Nets fumbling the ball. You see Durant coming up short on his jump shots. And I think in the second quarter, third quarter, and maybe the beginning of the fourth, Kyrie was dominating us in game one. And that's because we kind of, the fans start to sit down. As soon as the fans get up, oh man, we're going to win every home game this whole playoffs run. I believe we're going to go to the championship. I think we're the best team in the East, especially when Rob Williams comes back. But if you're going to go to the games this whole playoff run, we need to get up every possession. And I think we could go a long way to the championship.
I love the optimism, Luis. And I agree that the crowd, I thought, was a huge factor tonight. Obviously started off with some nice Kyrie sucked chants, some fuck you Kyrie chants. I thought it was a little much to be chanting on back-to-back to possessions to start the game about Kyrie Irving. I thought maybe they should focus in on the basketball, but that definitely happened late. Just Kyrie being in the game is just like, there's a supercharged environment in here. And I thought the fans were great. There's just like some great moments of the Celtics pumping up the crowd. Al Horford hit a huge three in the corner in the third quarter, started talking a lot of shit to the Nets bench. Grant Williams, I can't believe I haven't even mentioned Grant Williams, but he was perfect from three, and he's really kept the team in the game where kept it only a 9-point game after the first quarter. He made huge threes and huge plays, especially down the stretch, and I thought the fans were in this game. This place was electric, everyone on their feet pretty much for the entire fourth quarter, and I think it's going to be a huge thing, and the Celtics are being rewarded maybe for taking on the challenge of the Brooklyn Nets, but now they're going to, if they move on to the second round, they would have home court against the Milwaukee Bucks. So I do think the Celtics have the best home crowd in the league, and it's going to be important moving forward. Let's go now to Jonathan R. Jonathan R., welcome to Anything Is Possible. Jonathan.
Hey, man.
How's it going?
Oh, it's going great. You know, I just want to let you know, I don't know if you remember, but like way back early in the season, I hopped on, I told you guys, I finally convinced my wife to watch a game, and I almost lost my marriage.
I do remember that. Was that the Portland Trailblazers game?
Yes, indeed. But I got to tell you, things are really turning around for me at home.
The vibes have shifted.
The vibes have shifted both at home. I'm also about 2 weeks away from my first kid, so I got to say, it's a great time for my marriage to be solid. So thank you, Celtics. But that's all.
Congratulations to Jonathan R. and his wife for having a beautiful time watching this Boston Celtics team. There's something in the air about this team. There's certainly a very special thing going on right now. That was the thing about this game, is despite how poorly I thought the Celtics were playing in the first half, despite all the 50-50 balls kind of going the other way, there was a number of times tonight where the Celtics seemed like they got the ball, got turnovers, and the ball just ended up in the Nets' hands, and they converted a three. Like, a lot of five-point swings, missed goaltending on Tatum. Like, everything was going, breaking against the Celtics, except for the fact that Kevin Durant was awful. And
it just they never gave up, and it never really felt like they were out of this game. And as soon as they kind of made that surge in that fourth quarter, when they went on that 12-2 run, taking what was a 5-point lead to or 5-point deficit to a 5-point lead, you're just confident in what they're doing. And really, you weren't. No one in this building was scared of what Kevin Durant could do, because he was just not in rhythm the entire night. Him and Kyrie were not comfortable, and the Celtics just defense. Oh, it was physical. The refs certainly, you know, played a role in everything, because that's what the refs want to do in the playoffs, make it about them. Close to, I think it was 50 fouls in this game, 28 on the Nets and 27 on the Celtics, so 55 fouls. That's absolutely absurd. It's kind of the one bummer of this game, but I thought the Celtics just played tremendous defense, and I thought even in foul trouble, Al Horford ended up fouling out. Tice, he struggled early, but he filled in well. But I really think Grant Williams and Peyton Pritchard, and kudos to Ime Udoka for sticking with Peyton Pritchard during that run and getting more spacing out there to allow the offense to cook a little bit. I thought Ime handled his kind of big first challenge of the playoffs pretty well. And then I thought he did a good job. Pritchard was maybe tiring out or running out on the Pritchard luck, and he bought Smart back in, who finished off the game with just amazing – kind of absurd, not kind of absurd, absolutely absurd left-handed bank shot where he held up his arm and Jalen Handel held up his arm. That was absolutely fantastic. I was angry at the time he took the shot, but then I forgot you have to love and trust, and love and trust I do. Let's go to Tom S. Tom S., thank you for joining me here on Anything is Potable. How are you doing?
No, and Sam, you're right. Well, that was summer, wasn't it? That was summer. It's 22 minutes past three here in the UK. I've been pacing.
And you've been having hell of a night.
well, my missus thinks I've gone crazy. She keeps coming down, says, yeah, you're all right. Like, you look stressed. I'm just pacing up and down, just watching the TV screen. And I think my dog thinks I've got something wrong with me. I think my dog was like, what on earth is this guy doing? But no, I can't believe it. And because I know 17 point lead is not that special necessarily now in today's NBA than it was in yonder years, but in playoff basketball, to pull off something like that, shout out to Kyrie Irving for getting an early Uber home in that fourth quarter. Thank God, like, because he just disappeared. Because when it got quite close in the fourth, I must say, I kind of thought, is this where he just goes, you know what, let's just, yeah, I mean, find that second wind and let's just start cooking everything, you know, like he did in the first game when you're just like, this guy can't miss. Like, this guy could turn around 10 times and still, yeah, I mean, it's from half court, it'd still go in. My question for you, though, is obviously a lot of people are wanting Rob to return this series. Now we're 2-0 and we're looking a bit comfortable. I know anything could change. Would you maybe wait for the possible Bucks matchup, because it's one of them where I'm a bit scared, because I must say I don't feel very confident with Tice. I thought he did quite well in the second half, like you said, but I don't feel really confident with him against the Bucks. I'm, for some reason, I'm a bit nervous that Rob's going to come back. It's going to be great, but then he's going to tweak it. And then, you know what I mean? We're going to try and bring him back maybe. I mean, because marginally early, and then he could be out for longer. So what would you do? How would you manage Rob? Would you still focus on getting him back in this series if we can, or would you simply wait and see if we can get through Nets without him and use him at the Bucks?
Well, Tom, I appreciate the question and appreciate you definitely joining all the way from the UK. Tell your dog and your wife that you're not crazy. You just witnessed a brilliant basketball team. As for the Time Lord question, Ime said today before the game that Rob is progressing, doing 3-on-3. I don't think the Celtics are any rush to bring him back, especially in this series. It's clearly they don't need him. But if they can get him in the game, I think it would be nice to get him in some game action before potentially moving on to a next series. I don't want to count my chickens, you know, knocking on wood and everything like that. But I don't think there's a rush to bring him back. But if you want to make a finals run, you're going to need Rob Williams. And so whatever the timetable is needing for him to get comfortable, I think that's worse. Who knows? The way this series is so spread out, we have to wait till Saturday for a game three. Game four won't be till Monday. That's going to be, I think, well over 4 weeks before Rob's initial surgery, and then kind of well within the timetable of where his potential return. So I don't think there's a huge pressure for Rob Williams to return, but I wouldn't mind his return if it's everything's going well and everything's working with his recovery.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
All right, now, I mean, I have some energy tonight, folks, but I'm ready to hear this man, Joshua B. Joshua B., come on down. You are on Anything's Potable.
Thank God and fuck the refs. Now, why do I say that? I say that because Kevin Durant went 18 for 20 from the line. Anybody who watched that game must have had shades of Dallas when the refs let the Mavericks back in the third quarter when we were up by God knows how many, when we lost our first game all those like months ago in the middle of our winning streak. And what is the point of all of that? The point of all of that is that this time the NBA called down to the refs and said, look, make sure that Kevin Durant gets off, that Kevin Durant goes for over 40, because God forbid his fragile ego has to get onto a burner account onto Twitter and defend himself from all the people who say that maybe he can't go, oh, I don't know, drain a bucket, go better than 0 for 10 in the fourth quarter. No. Let's make sure the refs help him out so they can go 18 for 20 and save his stat line. And you better go 18 for 20, because without those 18 points, you don't even get over 20. You don't even get over 30 points. Without those 18 points, all of a sudden, 42 looks a lot more normal. It looks closer to 24, which is, by the way, damn close to what you were in the first game when you only scored 23 points. What's the point of all of this? The point of all of this is that the Celtics played an outstanding team game. That game, when you go and you look down our box score, you'll see 20 points. You'll see Jaylen Brown leading the way with 23 points, Jason Tatum at 19 points, and on and on and on we go. 16 points from Al Horford. Like, it's nuts. We spread the ball all over the place. And what does that tell you? That tells you that we aren't going to go down to an individual star. You are going to have to beat us with team basketball. So when Joel Embiid comes a running from Philadelphia and says, oh, I'm so great, look at me, I can score 40 points, right? It's not going to matter. You're going to need to beat us with a team game. It's going to happen. It's going to have to happen. I hope you listen to the last Anything Is Potable, because I gave you all the credit for that.
I appreciate that.
I said that on this podcast, and I said that because I believe that home court advantage absolutely matters. I believe the reason that you get the number two seed in the first place is for moments just like game one. The reason that you get home court advantage is so that Kevin Durant, when he's so busy getting every whistle for every ticky-tack call, I mean, Marcus Smart has to do to lay in the ball and get the call. Anything? How many people have to be guarding him and hacking him at the same time? I don't know. It has to be more than four. You know, there's only five nets on the court in the first place, and he's still the call. And I'm saying, oh, well, it must have been Marcus Smart. I could attribute that to Jaylen Brown or Jason Tatum or any time that Gordon Dragic was guarding someone. The Celtics barely ever got calls in the fourth quarter, and yet Kevin Durant was hitting the line over and over and over again. And now we're up 2-0. And we're going to Brooklyn. And when I say we're going to Brooklyn, I don't necessarily just mean the Celtics. I mean anybody who can afford a ticket from the Boston fans down in Brooklyn, because that crowd is apathetic. I've watched enough Brooklyn Nets games to know that the Boston Celtics, like all the Boston Celtics fans who have disposable income, should absolutely drive. Now, I know the Joshua B rules that I can't talk for more than 10 minutes, even though I can. So my question to you is, do you feel that home court advantage matters? Do you believe that TD Garden and the Boston Celtics fan base made a humongous difference, and that fighting for home court advantage, which we've done every game since the start of the first half and in every loss, including the one to the Milwaukee Bucks, led to a win in game one and to a win in game two? And thank you for your service on the Saturday Slam and Jam.
Oh, Joshua B coming in hot. As always, appreciate the energy. I do think home court mattered. I do think that I don't think there's any real way to measure if the home crowd rattled KD or anything like that. But I do think it kept the Celtics in this ball game. I think the point, Josh, that the best point you made is about how this felt like a team game versus individual superstars. And I like the foul. The refs were very obnoxious. And looking at KD's stat line, seeing 18 for 20 is frankly absurd. But if you look at the total free throws, the Nets attempted 34, the Celtics attempted 31. I thought it was like a sloppy, just poorly officiated game where they're calling too much on both sides, and basically really challenging the idea that they can't call everything. I think both of these teams came out and really tried to play physical basketball, and the referees kind of said, no, that's not what we want in the playoffs. But in terms of like what the Nets were doing on offense, they don't really have options beyond KD and Kyrie. And I think Steve Nash just was thoroughly outcoached in this game in terms of not like when did you see maybe a pick and roll between KD and Kyrie? When did you see KD coming off a pin down? It was a lot of isolation basketball. It was like, yes, they would like get for a switch, but then it was basically KD or Kyrie driving into the paint and trying to get like a long two. And in the first half, when you had Bruce Brown knocking down open threes, I think like it worked for the Nets. And of course you had a very obnoxious Goran Dragic run, because that's just going to happen anytime the Celtics play Goran Dragic in the playoffs. But the Nets' offensive creativity was just not there, and they didn't really seem to have a counter. They just kept on running their heads into the wall, where it feels like the Celtics, clearly Jason Tatum didn't have it going tonight. Clearly the Celtics struggled going to the rim, especially early. I thought the Nets early did a good job of being a deterrent. I thought in the second half the Celtics did a good job of getting to the rim with not necessarily the attempt to try and score the basketball, but getting to the rim, just drawing and then kicking out. And that's why I think you saw big threes from Horford, big plays from Peyton Pritchard. And so the Nets really just didn't have a counter. It was just, let's run the KD Kyrie play and just hope it works. And nothing really worked out for them. They tried to go small with four guards, and it really, the spacing was not there for them, and no one really stepped up on the Nets. So it's why I think I like predicted the Celtics in five before the series, because I think just at the end of the day, the Celtics are a better basketball team and have been dominant for the past 3 months, and that has to count for something. I know we always talk about best player in the series, but being the best team and like being able to rely on each other, being able to know that your teammates are going to make the right play, I think has a huge impact on these first two games, or two games, frankly, the Nets should have won. I think the Nets let game one slip away, and here they started with a 9-point lead, had a 10-point lead heading into half, 5-point lead heading into the fourth quarter, and just none of their stars could really do anything with it. All right, the last caller I have on my list is K.I. It could be Kyrie Irving. Let's see. K.I., how's it going?
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
K.I., how you doing? Maybe it wasn't KI. Maybe it wasn't Kyrie Irving. Who knows? But if you want to try, press that raise hand button again. We'll go to James S. now. James, how are you doing? Well, no James here either. Maybe having too many technical difficulties. Going to try KI again. KI. Oh, nope. Everyone's dropping off. Oh, this is not what you want to have towards the end of a podcast. I thought it was Kyrie Irving. It would have been very nice to have a discussion with Kyrie. Trying James S. again. James, I can hear you. What's going on? Yes, sir. How you doing?
Good, man. How you doing? I was doing much better after halfway through the third quarter than I was during the first half. But a couple questions for you. Like, obviously, I feel like JB was a legit of a liability for the first 36 minutes. Like, he's got to understand that you can't, like, dribble through a double team on the top, you know, when they're running a high pick and roll. He's got, I don't know when he's going to learn that. Hopefully, he figures it out before the end of his career. Clearly, he took us down the stretch and was huge in the win. But it's like the other thing, and I don't know if you've got a little more insight into this, is to when the game was going on towards the end of the game. Like, we got lucky down the stretch because we hit a lot of big shots that were individual shots. You know what I mean? Like, Tatum hitting the shot, Smart hitting the shot, but like the offense was not running smoothly. And my question is, was Udoka not happy with that? Was he not affecting that? Was he asking for that? You know what I mean? It's almost like they reverted back in the last like 4 minutes to what they used to do. And fortunately it worked because people hit ridiculous shots. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, I'm just wondering if he had any, if you, you know, you saw anything on the sidelines in any of the timeouts, was he preaching anything like, you know, move the ball, or was he just, you know, stay confident and hope that Pritchard keeps hitting ridiculous shots, Tatum hits ridiculous shots, Tatum's hitting ridiculous shots, and Marcus Smart hits an absurd shot.
I appreciate the call, James. I think they were a lot more deliberate with their offense in the fourth quarter. There was that just kind of absurd Tatum shot where he knocked down a three directly. I think it was over Dragic, where it was pretty much broken offense. But I think the Celtics did a pretty good job of drive and kick, making the right play. I guess they did have some lucky. There was a lot of fouls that going on down the stretch, and the Celtics stepped up and made them. I thought Marcus Smart did a good job to draw that KD foul. That was his fifth, to kind of put him not being able to play the best defense late. But that was Marcus Smart getting a pass after the defense had been expanded from Jason Tatum. I thought Jason Tatum did. And then I think they actually just were slow and deliberate. And although there was less ball movement, I think that's just kind of the nature of playoff basketball, where it really felt down the stretch they wanted to attack people like Curry or Kyrie. And I thought Jalen, yes, just sometimes Jalen just dribbling the basketball and makes some just decisions that are just, whew, you don't really know what's going on. But I thought he did a really good job late of just driving the basketball through smaller defenders and just going up straight. And he's become really good at finishing, especially with the right. I thought the Celtics did. They were just much more calmer on offense than they were in the first half. It felt like they were trying to do too much. And, you know, it makes sense. But like the old Brad Stevens saying is, you know, you got to hit singles. And it felt like they tried to come out in the start of the, or at the end of the second quarter, they had a big run. And then, you know, KD comes down, I think hits an open three. They had almost had a chance to tie it up immediately out of the third quarter, and then the Nets hit some big threes. I thought the Celtics just kept trying, kept chipping away, and they did a really good job of eventually hitting singles. And it really just all came back to the defense. Like, every single shot on the Nets had was difficult, and the Celtics, despite, I think, a pretty impressive effort on the offensive boards from the Nets, like, Drummond was quite annoying in that regard. How many offensive rebounds he had? It says only one here, but that doesn't make any sense to me. The Nets had a lot of long rebounds. They had finished the game with 9 offensive rebounds, but that sounds a bit lower than it actually was. But I thought the Celtics did a good job of slowing the game down, being deliberate, just finding the smaller guy and attacking the switch. And then when they could driving and kicking, making the extra pass. It felt like in the first half they were really just attacking the rim with kind of a reckless abandon. And I thought Nick Claxton and Andre Drummond did a pretty good job of deterring them. But in the second half, they were more deliberate. And with KD shooting the way he did, Kyrie shooting the way he did, it did kind of feel inevitable as the second half progressed that the Celtics were going to come back. And Josh B. mentioned this, but it was an absolute team performance. Just huge performances by Peyton Pritchard in that fourth quarter. He finished with 10 points. Al Horford was huge from three, knocking down 3 of 6. He finished with 16 points. Daniel Tice for 15 points, especially early on. I thought he got that scoring well. Grant Williams, the shot making that I mentioned. Marcus Smart was just dominant. Thought it was an interesting thing that I think Ime did tonight was matching his minutes as much as he could with Kyrie Irving. Kyrie played 40 minutes, and it looks like Marcus Smart played 35, which 35 seems low, but I guess during that stretch run where Peyton Pritchard was in the game, we didn't get total Marcus action. But I thought he was excellent on defense. He finished with 12 points. Grant Williams with 17 points. A total team performance. Jason Tatum finished with 19 points and 10 assists, 6 boards. It's just after the Celtics' really rough start, they finish 50% from the field, 35 from deep. And it was just a great, great win. It's been a great couple of days to be here with Celtics basketball. You get the Tatum win in game one, Marcus Smart wearing the winning the deep boy with a cool, very cool ceremony with Gary Payton, also rocking the deep boy robe here tonight. And then the Celtics just having a fantastic win here in game two, going up 2-0 over the Brooklyn Nets. And they'll be taking on the Nets in game three. Who knows? Maybe Ben Simmons will be there. But it's going to be fascinating to see what happens. I still think it's going to be Celtics in 5. I would not be shocked by Celtics in 4. But no matter what happens, Jay and I will be here to talk about it. Jay and I will have a podcast breaking down this game more later in the week. But I wanted to give you guys some initial reactions here. Very much appreciate to all the people who hopped on, joined me here in this Athletic Live room. If you want to join me for subsequent games, download the Athletic app. And we should be doing this after every single Celtics playoff game. So thanks to all the callers. And thanks to the listeners out there. If you enjoy the show, please subscribe. And I'm sitting here on the 9th floor. There's a lot of people around. They're looking at me. I'm probably not going to yell anything as potable just because it's embarrassing at this point. But thank you guys for listening, and tune in later in the week. Me and Jay will break down this game more with maybe surprise guest. Thanks for listening, guys.